Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Leland back to our individual podcast. Yes, I skipped last Friday. I am in a in-between mood, right? We're grieving for my grandmother's passing. We're actually going to lay her to rest this Saturday, April 26th. Yes. Anyhow, before we begin, today's topic is navigating something personal, but something also a reflective model. It's a dual process model of grief. And so we're going to talk about a lot of things called when the hustle pauses, grief, ADHD, and the emotional weight of leadership. That is the title of our podcast tonight. But before we start, this is for you as our tone and vibe for today.
Level up with Dr. Leland. Step into the future. The world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making. We'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars, level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At level
time. I love that song. I've created that song. Anyhow, so let's go ahead and move on to our podcast today. Again, the title is When the Hustle Pauses, Grief, ADHD, and the Emotional Weight of Leadership. Today's episode is personal. It's raw. I'm speaking not just as a business owner, but as a human navigating grief. In doing so, while managing my ADHD and all of the other aspects of responsibility called life. Why this matters? So many entrepreneurs are silently pushing through personal loss, chronic mental fatigue, or neurodivergence, period. We show up, we lead. But what happens behind the scenes matters even more. If you are listening to this, I'm inviting you. If you're in a season of grief or chaos in your life, or supporting someone who is, this episode is for you. Let's normalize what it means to lead while healing. I'm sure you all can relate. Understanding grief in the entrepreneurial world. How do we normalize the experience of grief for leaders? Business culture often pressures us to bounce back, to have 3 days and then you're supposed to be back to normal. But grief doesn't have a deadline. It steals your moment of silence into chaos. The dual process model of grief that I was talking to at the very beginning is from Straub and Schutt. They basically said, hey, grief is not linear. Leaders oscillate between focusing on the loss and, of course, our everyday tasks. If you're a parent, shout out to you out there. You still have to do life while grieving. Sometimes we don't have time to grieve. We just mosey on. Business as usual. Because our culture is all about bouncing back. One moment, I'm reviewing invoices. The next, I'm crying over a memory. The next, I'm laughing while tears are running down my face. Let me tell you something. If you're going through that, that's normal. How does grief impact on motivation and performance? Well, it delays in execution. it actually increases our self-doubt and add more struggle with long-term planning. Also, sometimes we have an existential moment where we question our own existence and our own legacy and what we're doing with our life and what's important. Grief can mimic burnout or depression. Awareness is key. Now, if you have ADHD or any other mental pause, I call it, neurodivergence, and executive functioning issues during grief, you're probably asking, CJ, what is executive dysfunction? Well, trouble organizing or starting or completing a task. It's exacerbated by emotional overload. So if you have a project right now and you're grieving over a loss of a relationship, a loss of friendship, a loss of family member, a loss of business partners, a loss, period. Grieving is not just about your family member dying. It could be a friendship, a relationship. But if you have ADHD, which I'm focusing on that because I have it, how ADHD intensifies grief. We have time blindness. It can distort memory and expectations. Emotional dysregulation makes grief feel more extreme and unpredictable. Our object permanence issues can make relationships and losses feel surreal. But what I find helpful, or tools or workaround on those, intensity, I use visual planning tools. Again, I have a lot of sticky notes. So I can focus on things that I need to do, a to-do list, if you will. I also have an accountability partner, my sisters, someone to check in on me if I'm okay. Dopamine-driven motivation. Celebrate small wins, guys. Do the thing with a reward. Sometimes for ADHD people, it's a little shopping that we get. Right? Oh my God, it's only $10. Oh my God, it's 99 cents less. Those are all dopamine-driven motivation. Let's talk about the psychology of slowing down. I'm sure you guys heard me about talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs through a leadership lens is what I'm going to talk about today. I can't show up at the top of my game if I'm skipping meals and avoiding sleep. Reflect on that. What foundational needs are unmet right now? You guys know the 5 pyramids of Maslow's hierarchy? If you're driving right now, or if you're trying to go to bed and trying to figure out, what are Maslow's hierarchy? Can you guys remember any of them? Or should we review it? I know you know them, but let's review them anyway, right? There are 5 levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The basic, the very number one, the very first is physiological needs. This is called your basic needs. Like food, water, the air you breathe in, sleep, your shelter, clothing. These are essential for survival and must be met first. Once you have that, then you do this step 2 or level 2. This is called the safety needs. This is security needs. Personal security, financial security, health, and well-being. Once your physiological needs are satisfied, people seek safety and stability. Right? Make sure you have a job. Make sure your job pays you enough. Once you meet that, you level up to number three, which is love and belonging. This is called social needs, friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. Humans are social beings and need to feel a sense of belonging. Once you satisfy level three, you go to number four, level four. It's called esteem needs. This is your psychological needs. Respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, freedom. Includes, by the way, both self-respect and respect from others. People are in between here, 60-40 sometimes. You want to aim for 50-50. You don't want to have too much self-respect for you that you don't respect other people, or vice versa. You want to have 50-50. Have boundaries. And the last needs of level up number five for Maslow's hierarchy is self-actualization. This is called self-fulfillment needs. Achieving your full potential, including creative activities, passion projects, writing a book, whatever that is, volunteering. This is the desire to become the most that one can be. So that is five, okay, levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, the leadership lens literally is saying, hey, do you have enough sleep? When you have an issue, sometimes you can't sleep because all you're doing is focusing on that. And when you are lack of sleep, your body needs it, right? To pause, to reset, to regenerate whatever you lost for that day. And if you don't have enough time to regenerate whatever you lost, you're literally walking in fumes and you're going to be on auto mode, right? Because your body needs sleep, craves sleep. So you go in auto mode. Have you ever, you know, done something, you're like, okay, I got to go home, then I got to do this, this, and this. And then on your way home, you went straight home and then did something. And then you forgot to pick up the kids, or maybe you forgot to pick up a drink or a food platter, whatever, because you're on auto mode. Sometimes you drive home and you don't know how you got there sometimes. You're like, whoa, I'm home? I don't remember. You're in auto mode. You lack of sleep. Okay, so reflect. What foundational needs are unmet right now based on those five levels of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Now, the window of tolerance, this is from Dr. Dan Siegel. Hyperarousal, this is constant anxiety and panic and overwork. You're wound up. You feel like everyone is against you. Everything seems to be falling apart no matter what you do. Right? There's hyper arousal and hypo arousal. Now, hyper, H-Y-P-E-R, that is a constant anxiety, panic, and overwork. Hypo arousal is the fatigue, the zoning out, the procrastination. I'll do it later. Right? What are some of the tools to actually combat these things? What I do is I journal. I do some grounding work. I do some routines with flexibility. I walk away, walk my dogs, play video games for a couple minutes, and then come back. Make sure you have your alarm. Otherwise, you'll be scrolling your game for 2 hours. You're like, wait, I lost 2 hours? That happens to me too. Now, emotional resilience isn't always productive. You need self-compassion. Now, self-compassion theory actually was written by Dr. Christine Neff. She stated that you need to treat yourself as you would a dear friend. We are so eager to help a friend be kind, be empathetic, be caring, be loving. But somehow we can't treat ourselves like our friend. We always put ourselves last. We feel guilty when we even indulge on something. These three elements that we want you to think when it comes to self-compassion: mindfulness, common humanity, and self-kindness. And you're probably going to say, Dr. Leland, CJ, you talk about mindfulness. What does that exactly look like? Because mindfulness is a big word. It's a buzzword. But it means different to different people based on their action. Mindfulness is a practice of having fully be present and aware in the moment without judgment. Right? What is the core principle of mindfulness, guys? It's awareness. Nothing that you do tomorrow that you can't change today. Meaning if you did something today and you change it a little bit, tomorrow will be different. Noticing what is happening inside and around you. Some of the examples is going to the mall and sit there and just watch people. Be present. Don't be on your phone. Watch how families interact. Watch how people, which store they go into. Watch how many bags that came out from the store and how many they buy. Spend 20 minutes and you can literally assert based on that how the economy is doing, how our family dynamics are happening, right? And you do that day in and day out for 30 days and really note it, you'll see patterns, right? That's noticing what is happening inside and around you. Inside would be like, okay, my brain is doing this, but also how that feels. Do you wish you were part of that group? Do you wish that you could buy these things that they're buying, right? That's inside. And number two is acceptance, acknowledging your thoughts and feelings without trying to change or judge them. If you feel sad, let it be sad. Allow yourself to be. Give yourself permission. Be present moment will focus your attention on the now rather than ruminating on the past or worrying about the future that might not come. And the past you can't change. It already existed. And then non-judgment, letting go of labels like good or bad and simply observing what is. Right? That is mindfulness in its entirety. Common humanity, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does being human mean to you? Common humanity is the idea that suffering, imperfection, and life struggles are really a shared human experience, right? We all go through them. It's a core component of self-compassion, especially as defined by, again, Dr. Neff, right? You are not alone, though. Everyone's experiences hardships, failure, loss, and pain. Suffering is part of life. Instead of feeling isolated in your pain, common humanity helps you realize that difficulty is part of what it means to be human. Connection over comparison. Instead of asking, why me? Shifts the mindset to, this is part of being human. What are some of the benefits of embracing common humanity, guys? Reduces the shame and self-judgment. It increases your emotional resilience. It fosters empathy and connection with others. It also encourages a healthier response to failure or setbacks in your life. When you make a mistake, remind yourself, everyone messes up sometimes. I'm human, right? Right now, during grief or burnout maybe, say, hey, others felt this too. I'm not alone. This is not just a me thing. In leadership, acknowledge team struggles with empathy instead of blaming, reinforcing that challenges are universal. We all go through it. It's okay. And the last thing that she talked about is self-kindness. How you be kind to yourself looks different than how I'm kind to myself. Self-kindness means treating yourself with the same warmth, understanding, and compassion you do to a very good friend of yours, especially when you're struggling or failing or feeling inadequate. The core elements of self-kindness is gentle self-talk. Replacing harsh inner criticism with encouraging and forgiving words. Caring actions like doing things that nourish your well-being, like resting when tired or asking for help when overwhelmed, or understanding over judgment, acknowledging your imperfections with compassion and not self-punishment. Saying, hey, it's okay to feel this way. I'm doing my best. Giving yourself permission to rest without guilt. I don't do that often. Every time I take a nap, I'm like, oh man, I could have graded 100 students by now. I do that all the time. Speaking to yourself like you would to a hurting child or friend, or even your puppy if you have animals, right? If my little Cheerio feels sad or she's limping and I massage her, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. I wish I could take your pain. Why don't you be kind to yourself like that? Also, setting boundaries out of self-respect for yourself, right? Boost emotional resilience. That's why it matters. It lowers anxiety and depression. It increases your motivation and personal growth. And it builds a healthier inner relationship with yourself, getting to know yourself. Here's some mantras that help me. I am allowed to slow down. Rest is not laziness, it's necessary. I can grieve and still be a good leader. Now, building a grief-aware business culture. What grief-aware leadership looks like. Modeling boundaries, taking time off, being transparent. Normalizing therapy, guys, PTO for grief and mental health breaks in your team is necessary. I don't know why we only have 3 days off for bereavement. I think you should have at least 5 days. There's no way you can bounce back in 3 days. Practical shifts, task sharing, automating where possible, and creating a psychological safety in your team meetings. Also, let's redefine success in time of loss. Redefine productivity. Success might look like replying to one email or showing up to a client call. Instead, let's reframe doing enough versus doing it all. What I tell myself, well, even if I'm moving slower, I'm still moving forward. Right? If you're listening and you're grieving, you are not broken. You don't have to earn rest or healing. Your business isn't more important than your well-being. What you can let go of this week, and what do you need to give yourself permission to do less of? Ask yourself that. What can you let go of this week? What is something you can let go? What do you need to give permission to do less this week? Right? Try it. Grief isn't an interruption. It's part of life. And being neurodivergent doesn't make you less of a leader. It just means you lead differently. DM me your stories of loss. I would love to hear that. You can email it to lua@levelupbyduckleland.com. Lua is spelled L-U-A. Share this episode with someone quietly grieving. And in terms of journaling, I don't know if you guys write a journal. I would love to provide my prompts when I write. And this week, I'm going to share a 10 prompts about grieving that I kind of want to reflect. The first prompt is, what do I miss the most about this person? I describe their habits, the moments that we spent together, any little things that gives a smile on my face, any memories that is funny or memorable. I have a lot of funny moments with my grandma. Number two, what emotions am I feeling today? And where do I feel them in my body? Most of the time, I feel them in my shoulder. It's heavy. Or I get a little tension headache. And I hope and pray to God it's not going to turn into a migraine because it gets bad for me. I also get heavy on the neck. It's like a lot of tension. And then in my back. Right? So I reflect on those. I give myself space to process any type of regrets or unfinished conversations. That's my third prompt. What do I wish I had said or done differently? Number four is, how did this person impact my life and who am I today? Reflect on the legacy of love and influence they left behind. Number five, what does grief teach me about love, life, and connections? Explore the deeper meaning behind the pain. Number six, how can I honor their memory in my daily life? Think of rituals or traditions or acts of service that keep them close. Number seven, what are three things I'm grateful for about the time we shared? Use gratitude to shift from pain to remembrance. Number eight. Oh, man. What does self-kindness look like for me right now? Reflect on how you can care for yourself during this time. And number nine, what part of my grieving do I tend to hide from others? Journal honestly about the private sides of your loss, something you can't really share with anybody. And number 10, if I could speak to them right now, what would I say? Write a letter or conversation as a form of emotional release. Those are the 10 prompts that I've been working on this week as a personal journal. Now, when you're a leader, if you're a leader in your industry or your community and you're grieving, it's a powerful and often overlooked topic for leaders. Leaders are expected to stay composed, guide others, and keep it together, even in the midst of personal heartbreak. But the truth is, leaders grieve too. And acknowledging that can create a more human, resilient, and connected work culture. You don't stop being human just because you're in charge. Leadership doesn't require emotional numbness. It requires emotional honesty. Grief doesn't follow a schedule. Deadlines, meetings, and responsibility continues, but so does the ache. The challenge is navigating both with grace. And number three is vulnerability doesn't weaken leadership. It depends on it. Sharing your grief appropriately builds trust, empathy, and psychological safety within your team. Grieving leaders model self-care, guys. When you take time to heal or set boundaries, you give your team permission to do the same when they need it. There's strength in asking for support. Great leaders don't carry everything alone. They know how to reach out. These are my tips if you're a leader. Well, I'm going through this as well. Obviously, it's going to look different for you, but this is what I have done for myself, and I would love to share it and hope that it helps you. Communicate clearly. Let your team know what you're facing and what you need. Delegate where needed. Empower others to step in during moments you need to step back. Practice self-kindness. I cannot overemphasize it. You're not failing by grieving, you're feeling, and that's courageous. Honor your energy. Some days will be heavier. Adjust your expectations and protect your peace. Here's a quote for reflection, guys. Grief is not a detour from leadership. It is a deeper path to authentic connection. Let's take 30 seconds of silence. Okay, maybe that's more than 30 seconds. That feels uncomfortable for you. It's called peace. It's called pause. Pause your brain a little bit. Now, as we wrap up today's episode, I want to remind you, if you're navigating grief, living with ADHD, or you're simply trying to lead through a season that feels too heavy to carry for whatever reason, you are not alone. You are not behind. You are human, and you are not broken. Being human is enough. Leadership isn't about always being strong. It's about being real. And sometimes the most powerful thing we can do is give ourselves permission to pause. Breathe. And just be. So, here's what I would love for you to do next. Give yourself grace. Reflect on what you actually need this week, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Share this episode with someone you know who is carrying a quiet weight. They might need to hear this too. And if this message landed in your heart, again, send me a message. Tag me on social media and Instagram, Level Up by Doc Leland. I'd love to hear how you're showing up, one breath, one step at a time. Stay kind to yourself. You're doing better than you think. Believe in yourself because no one else will. If this resonated, give me a thumbs up. Star, tag me. All right. I want you to be kind to yourself this week, guys. Take a deep breath, do some journaling, and reflect on what's important in your life. Work will always be there. The people around you will not always be there for you. So take the time to go out to lunch, call a friend that you've never called in a while. I'm about to do that tomorrow, actually. And I just want them to know that I'm okay. And I got busy in life, and I do want to go out to lunch to some of my friends that haven't gone out in a while. Do the same, guys. Loneliness is not a fun thing. If you feel alone, but you're surrounded with so many people, reach out. We're always here to help as well. All right? Until next time. Bye, everybody. Happy Friday. And I'll see you in our YouTube channel, Luau by Doc Leland. And please subscribe there as well. All right. Until next time.
Level up, it's time to rise. Unlock your potential, reach for the skies. Transform pain to purpose, find clarity and strive. With Dr. Leyland leading, we stand side by side. Collaboration fuels us, together we thrive. At Level Up Academy, your dreams come alive. Hey!